when the backstop was first produced, and when, and it's a deal that Theresa May negotiated on behalf of the British government, we were given some sort of sucker and some sort of insurance policy and thought, okay, well, if this goes through, it's fine. The backstop, Ireland is wedded to the backstop and Europe is wedded to the backstop for very, very good reasons. And I don't think now is the time for us to be flinching or to be saying that the backstop is in any way renegotiable or movable, because the backstop is the only security that the island of Ireland has, both economically, culturally, and for the peace process, more importantly than anything else. And I don't think that anybody should be calling for a withdrawal of or a change of the backstop at this stage. I don't think there's any appetite in the Irish government or within the European Parliament for the same. Interestingly, if you read The Economist magazine at the weekend, they have an article saying the only way for things to change is for the Tory party to revolt against Boris Johnson and to remove Boris Johnson from leadership and ensure that there is a deal. The hypocrisy of that is that they had a prime minister who had a deal and they revolted against her three times and removed her instead. So I don't quite know what it is that they expect to do. But as far as the Irish position is concerned, and as far as our group's concerned, any of the politicians that we meet and continue to lobby for, the backstop is a non-movable and non-negotiable security for Ireland.
We do appear to be getting into an all-or-nothing situation, because on the other hand, what Boris Johnson, Michael Gove et al. Are saying is that the backstop is dead, the backstop is not going to be accepted, and it's either backstop or no deal. Make your choice.
Yeah, Boris Johnson says quite a few things, and he seems sometimes to contradict himself as well, because he also said that there will be no backstop, but there'll definitely not be any border in Ireland. But it, once again, as he's done for the last long time, he hasn't produced a single solution to that, or even an alternative idea as to how that might manifest or how that might come about. So he is certainly, it looks like he's crashing on a course of a no-deal crash out for Britain, and that will be absolutely terrible and catastrophic for Ireland. We will suffer more than any other country in Europe, and Donegal, being in a border region, will suffer more than anywhere else. That has been the reason we've been involved in this campaign from the beginning. Whether Boris Johnson will be true to his word and crash out or not, I don't know. Some of the speeches that he's made in the last week are incredulous, to be honest with you, and I just don't know how much of that is playing to an audience or how much of that is actual political conviction. I can't see any huge appetite in Britain for them to crash out with no deal. There seems to be stirring, certainly within the Labour Party and with other people within the Tory Party, that they'll do all they can within the House of Parliament to prevent a no deal crash out. Boris Johnson seems to be on a single issue run, that on the 31st of October he steps off the edge and takes everybody with him, and divil may care as to the consequences. I'm not quite sure whether he will actually follow that through or not. But I certainly don't think, I think it's a game of brinkmanship at the moment, and I don't think it's a time that the juggernaut that is Europe should flinch in the way of the hiatus van that is Britain.
There are a number of MPs on the Tory side as well as other parties who are effectively trying to move legislation through, and they'll be doing so in the coming weeks, that would effectively block a no-deal Brexit from happening. I mean, do they have a chance of success?
It depends on how much they convince the members of their own party to go against their leadership. They did do that in the past. They have said on umpteen times, the Tory party itself, that they would do their best to prevent a no-deal Brexit, and yet still they removed Theresa May, and they removed Theresa May's deal, which is, of course, the backstop. So I don't know. I wouldn't have any confidence at all in saying that they definitely will succeed. The Labour Party have said that they may at some stage table a motion of no confidence against Boris Johnson, and I imagine those two things will align themselves fairly quickly, that there'll be the legislation attempt to try and prevent a no-deal Brexit, and if that happens, that they potentially then will go for the vote of no confidence to try and force Boris's hand. He could have a very short or a very effective or a poor tenure as a Prime Minister if he forces through his own will. With the potential of that happening, I don't think anybody can honestly call that. I certainly wouldn't want to lay a bet on it.
You've had meetings with Guy Verhofstadt and other senior European officials, yep, over the time of the group's existence since Brexit became a reality, yep, in 2016. From what you're being told by him and by others, you remain absolutely assured that Europe aren't going to flinch on this, and that Europe will not, in the last moment, throw Ireland under the bus in order to get a deal with the UK?
From everything that has been told to us by Michel Barnier and by Guy Verhofstadt, they have assured us time upon time that the only deal that's on the table is the backstop, and that they have absolutely no intentions of renegotiating that deal. And that the backstop, as it says in the legislation which was written, the backstop comes into existence only until the point that a better deal has been found or a better resolution. So the backstop is there, and we don't see any appetite within Europe for renegotiating that at all. If the British government want to come up with some sort of improved solution, then by all means, let them come up with it. To date, they haven't come up with a single idea that's workable or in any improvement on the backstop. I can't see any appetite at all from the Europeans to renegotiate. Having said that, we shouldn't rest on our laurels, and I think the Irish government needs to continue doing as it's doing, and I think we're calling our MEPs to do the same, to continuously lobby now for the next 70 or 80 days or whatever's left to make sure that we keep the pressure on and keep that message going consistently.
Given that Gillian Smith was one of the key negotiators of the deal that saw the DUP support the Tory government, what does his appointment as Northern Secretary by Boris Johnson tell us about the way he's thinking?
I think Boris Johnson is somebody who will utilise people as he needs them, and at the current moment in time, he wants to keep the DUP sweet. I think if Boris Johnson didn't need the DUP, then Boris Johnson would forget any deal that he's made with them. I think that's the type of politician he is. I don't think he's a politician who consistently believes in long-term relationships. He's a politician who believes in getting over the here and now. I think he has certainly given some sort of sops to the DUP. I see the DUP have called for more money and more finance to be released in the short term to them for the assembly in the north of Ireland, which isn't working, for them to continue to support him. So I don't know just how strong the relationship is between Boris Johnson and the DUP, because I don't know how strong the relationship is between Boris Johnson and anybody that he doesn't need in the short term.
Over the weekend, we saw a poll which suggested that less than half of voters were happy with Leo Varadkar's performance on Brexit. Now, seeing as Leo Varadkar has been taking a fairly hard line in support of the backstop and in defiance of any suggestion that it be renegotiated, the fact that he's taken that line and still is getting less than 50% support from the electorate, is that concerning given that he may have to sit down and start considering his own political future?
No, because I think part of the reason that Leo Varadkar has probably achieved such a poor rating is there's other things influencing that factor, but certainly in relation to Brexit, I think it's because Simon Coveney has been the out-and-out stronger leader of the two, and Simon Coveney has been doing an awful lot more of the political speech and the public speaking, and Simon Coveney has been strong on the message from day one. I don't want to get involved in the ins and outs of that political party, but I just think that Simon Coveney has possibly been the stronger voice of the two, and I'd say that that poll reflects that more than anything. I'd say if there was another poll which asked what Simon Coveney's approval rating was, you might find it was a different figure.
From the point of view then of border communities against Brexit, you've been vocal, you've been protesting, you've worked on two fronts, you've had the public front, which is seeking public and popular support. You've also been having meetings behind the scenes with EU officials, with politicians and so on and so forth. What next for yourselves?
Next for ourselves is continue doing exactly as we've been doing. It will be lobbying, it will be meeting politicians. We are hoping to go to London again soon to meet the London government, whether that involves Boris Johnson or his officials, we don't know. That's yet to be arranged. We have a meeting with Naomi Long this week. We hope to be back in Europe, and we will just continue doing as we have been doing, which is lobbying and setting over the message. And the one message that was clear from day one, and the one message that needs to be continued to be said in Europe and across these two islands, is that the Good Friday Agreement in all its entirety must be protected, because it was the guarantor of peace on the island. It's allowed for the development of culture and prosperity. It's allowed for the economy. It's allowed for young people to stay home. And we cannot do anything or accept anything that threatens the Good Friday Agreement. And above all and beyond all, to remember that the European project was a project designed around peace after the Second World War, and that we should not be looking at a solution now which damages the peaceful culture of the European Union, and its raison d'etre is for peace between nations, and that we shouldn't be taking any actions that or accepting anything that in any way challenges the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process that lies within it.
Finally, Tom Murray, we have heard a lot of whisperings in the past number of weeks and months of the potential of Brexit to ultimately leave to a united Ireland. Is that sort of talk a help or a hindrance?
I don't know whether that sort of talk has any massive relevance, to be honest, in the short term. Yes, obviously, there is the potential that if the northern economy was so badly affected, or if the majority of the north who voted to remain then chose to exercise that democratic right, there would be potential for that. Whether that's a conversation that I think is appropriate for the time for when we're trying to save the peace process, save the backstop and negotiate Brexit, I think it's a different question. I think the questions are aligned, but I don't know that it's the right and appropriate time to do